This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch, and Merry Christmas, I should say. All right, coming up, it's a taxing process, but the Senate is moving closer to a major overhaul of our tax system, the first since 1986. President Trump is trying to push the process forward, stumping for it in Missouri. We'll talk with Oklahoma Congressman Steve Russell in just a few moments. And President Trump's legacy of nominating conservative judges continues. Today, Baton Rouge native Kyle Duncan, a friend of mine, one of President Donald Trump's nominees to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans, went before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry, also a friend, will be here to talk about that in just a moment. Also, North Korea has fired yet another test missile, this one showing they can reach the U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham will join us to talk about a U.S. response. Are sanctions enough? We'll discuss it here on Washington Watch. By the way, I mentioned this yesterday, but at FRC, we continue our year-end matching challenge. This program is made possible by folks like you all across the country that partner with us. We receive no government funds. This is purely sponsored by the Family Research Council and our partners. And during the month of December, any amount you donate to FRC receives a matching gift from a generous donor. Your gift supports our efforts to bring you this program each and every day. Now, donations can be made online at tonyperkins.com, or you can make a gift by text. All you need to do is dial this number, 444-999. That's text. You text to that number, 3 4s, 3 9s, and in the subject line, put FRC, and they'll send you a message back. Folks, I want to thank you. A lot of folks have already responded to this call, and I want to thank you for partnering with us and making this program possible. All right, President Trump continues to push for the passage of his historic tax reform plan. Just a little while ago, he was in St. Charles, Missouri, the Show Me State, where he delivered a speech on his proposed tax cuts. Here's just a portion of what he had to say.
If we do this, then America will win again like never, ever before. A vote to cut taxes is a vote to put America first again. We want to do that. We want to put America first again.
And with us now is Congressman Steve Russell. He represents the 5th Congressional District of Oklahoma. He serves on the House Committee on Government Oversight and Reform and the House Armed Services Committee. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony.
Well, the House has done its work. Now you're watching the Senate. In fact, we may see a vote on the Senate floor in just moments to proceed on to this bill. What are you hearing from Capitol Hill?
Well, we want to be respectful of our colleagues in the Senate and each chamber, but to a point, the House has done its duty. We did our duty on health care. The Senate must pass this bill. The American people demand it. This is something that needs to happen. It will be good for our country. Every American understands on April 15th about a broken tax system. So while I'm respectful of my friends in the Senate, they got to get this done.
Well, we're seeing back and forth, some senators saying they're for it, others against it, switching back and forth. Do we get to that number? We need 50 Republicans, and we may need the vice president to weigh in. Are we getting closer?
Well, I think if you're a conservative and you vote against tax reform, somebody ought to put a hole punch through your conservative card. Because we do need this tax reform. Who does not think that treating the American public with a higher, doubling the personal exemption, you know, $1,600 on the child exemption, allowing small businesses, which are often sole proprietors, to go out there and have, pass through essentially income, not be treated like IBM or Microsoft, but be treated like personal income. For a hardworking person trying to support his or her family. These are things that if you can't vote to try to place these things ahead of the line just because something is not the art of perfection on some impossible bill. We have to put the country ahead of local and state tax issues and all of those things. Our country will absolutely materially benefit, and then that makes us a stronger country as well.
And the idea behind this tax reform, especially when you look at lowering the corporate tax rate and into the privately held businesses, that this will create economic activity, which will grow our economy, which will increase revenues for government, create more jobs. And so this is really a catalyst to get our economy moving at a much higher rate in terms of our GDP than what we've seen in recent years.
Well, let me give you an example of that. Not only do we have offshore money that would come home that will result in better benefits and medical coverage for employees, higher wages. You would have expanding the workforce, so more people are employed. You would have modernizing of equipment and expansions. But you'll also not just have U.S. money that comes home, but you'll have European and Asian nations that are looking at the United States and go, you know what, I could make cars in South Carolina and export them back to Germany at the BMW plant. I mean, that actually has happened, and it's employed, you know, thousands of people where we've benefited from. So we see investment now where their hard currencies are coming to our shores instead of ours only bleeding out to others. I can think of no reason why we would not want that.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Congressman Steve Russell of Oklahoma, my guest in the first segment. Still to come, we're going to be looking at the president's judicial appointments. Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry will join us a little bit later in the program, as well as Senator Lindsey Graham talking about activities in North Korea firing yet another missile. Let me go back to the issue of the military, or not go back to it. Let me go to it. The growing our economy, increasing the revenue and stability of our economy, growing the revenue for government is really, you can argue, is a national security issue, because we have been underfunding our military and we are living in a much more dangerous time than I can think of in modern time. And this is a critical issue.
It's absolutely critical. There are a lot of things that government should have no business being involved with, and I think most Americans would agree with that. But one thing that we absolutely must have at the top of the list is defending the republic. Tony, we've seen a steady decline in the strength of our military with the equipment that Ronald Reagan provided us in the 1980s. And now we are asking our men and women in uniform to not only deal with the defense of NATO and Eastern Europe, when you have other economies and stuff that could help, you know, we have to take the lead ourselves. You're seeing the issue with North Korea and our posturing in Asia. You're seeing everything from disease and Ebola to, you know, preventing militants from taking unstable economies that, in Africa. That if that were to happen, then now you're talking famine and widespread disease. These are all things that the United States, it is looked to. And we can't just ignore that, because if we do, whatever cost saving that we will have now, imagine intelligent, highly capable economies going to war and tens of millions of people dying. What does that look like? What's the cost of that look like, mm-hmm. like we saw in the last century? So we have to be sober here, and we have to defend the republic. And then maybe, you know, we don't need to have municipal bonds being used to, you know, fund sports franchise stadiums to the tunes of billions of taxpayer dollars. Or
it's an issue of priorities and what the government should be doing.
We don't fund free cell phones, free chicken, or whatever else it is. I mean, there are core things that we have to do, and the president is focused on that. And, you know, his security team is certainly focused on that. His economic team is focused on that. But, you know, the good news is that we saw that happen with the tax reforms in 1986. We saw it. We realized it. And, you know, of course, it was reaped, you know, some years later, and there were a lot of people claiming credit for all of that. But regardless, America prospered and America benefited. And we need to get back to doing that so that we have not only economic health, but we have national security health as well.
Well, and Congressman Russell, that was Ronald Reagan's peace through strength.
That's
and
exactly
strength
right.
cost money. But yet that short-term cost a lot less than the long-term cost in terms of people, resources, and energy in armed conflict. And in order to get there, I think you're right. I think President Trump has put forth a reform of our tax structure which will create economic growth, which will enable us to have that military strength so that we can maintain and achieve peace.
Absolutely. And, you know, whether we like it or not, we can't have good trade and good commerce and, you know, all of the things that we enjoy, and America enjoys the highest standard of living anywhere with our freedoms coupled with that. You can't have that without defending those interests, without securing those national interests abroad, without securing your commerce. You have to secure those things, and that comes at a cost. And we do it with an all-volunteer force, less than 0.4% of our nation's population defends it. We ask an awful lot of these folks, and we need to properly equip them.
Without question, without question. And I want to thank you, Congressman Steve Russell, for your service, not only in Congress, but as a retired officer with the United States Army. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, Congressman Steve Russell of Oklahoma. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Great American. He's actually, it was his unit that tracked down and captured Saddam Hussein. Great story. He's actually written a book. All right, before we go to the break, let me go back to the president stumping in Missouri. I got another clip from him as he was up there last minute trying to push this thing across the line of tax reform, but talking about some of the things that has been accomplished that Congressman Russell was talking about.
We've already made progress far greater than I would have thought. I will tell you this in a non-braggadocious way. There has never been a 10-month president that has accomplished what we have accomplished. That I can tell you.
A non-braggadocious way. Let me just say, I have to give the president credit where credit is due. And we're going to talk about that coming up in the next segment. Attorney General for the state of Louisiana, a good friend of mine, Jeff Landry, joins us, former congressman. And he has been pushing hard for one of our fellow Louisianians, Kyle Duncan, who the administration tapped for the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Great lawyer. You served, involved in a number of cases, including the Hobby Lobby case. But he's running into some opposition, even from some Republicans. And this is one of the areas where I give this administration stellar remarks in terms of their judicial picks. They have been on it. Now, they got to get the Senate to come along. But I'm telling you, this is one of the areas they have been consistent with what they promised. Okay, coming up, the Attorney General for the state of Louisiana, Jeff Landry, joins me to talk about Kyle Duncan, who had a hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee today. Interesting where the opposition is coming from. We're going to talk about that with Jeff Landry here on the other side of the break. Don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch right after this.
This Christmas season, give with purpose and meaning, a gift that protects life, marriage, and religious liberty. At Family Research Council, our mission is to promote these three core values in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. We are working to ensure that our religious liberty is defended in the public square, that human life at all stages is protected, and that family values are promoted in our country's public policies. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for our future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to Family Research Council, your gift will be matched, meaning it will be doubled by a generous donor. And any donation is tax deductible. Give with purpose this Christmas season. Text FRC to 444-999. Again, that is text FRC to 444-999. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
What is the purpose of the military? To fight and win wars. The Obama administration abandoned this basic, common-sense principle and instead reversed long-standing policies that did not allow those who identify as transgender to serve. However, the Trump administration intervened to stop this radical social experimentation and announced that it will restore the former common-sense rule. A key voice in raising this issue in Congress is Representative Vicky Hartzler. Her proposed amendment to stop taxpayer money from being used to pay for gender reassignment surgery or hormone treatments for service members was narrowly defeated, but it helped focus attention on this issue. Although there is a current reprieve, the fight is still ongoing. Go to frc.org/speakers to watch Congresswoman Hartzler share congressional insight on this issue and give an update on where the fight for our military currently stands. Once again, that is frc.org/speakers.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. A candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. A senior director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Hear Mr. Arnakis discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, Kyle Duncan, one of President Donald Trump's nominees to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans, faced a confirmation hearing today before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Now, Duncan is a conservative lawyer who grew up in Baton Rouge. He served as Solicitor General in Louisiana, helped with a number of cases, and was at the Beckett Fund. I mean, he's solid. I've known him for years. Louisiana State Attorney General Jeff Landry calls Duncan the Neil Gorsuch of Louisiana. With us now is the Attorney General of the state of Louisiana, Jeff Landry. Jeff, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be with you, Tony, on the radio and talking to your great listeners out there.
Well, you wrote what brought this to my mind. First thing this morning, I saw a piece that you wrote on thehill.com about Kyle Duncan, President Trump's nominee to the Fifth Circuit. And you said he would be great to represent the state of Louisiana. And you made a strong, compelling case for him. Why are you getting so involved in this particular nomination?
Well, look, Tony, I mean, I think that many people out there in America, certainly those listening in today, recognize that a lot of the ills that are plaguing our country are coming from activist judges, and where we have basically diverted from courts in saying what the law is to basically saying what the law ought to be. And of course, one of the things that I think definitely brought Donald Trump into the presidency was the activist judiciary and his commitment to put people, men and women, up for appointment to the judiciary who respected the rule of law and were strict constructionists, certainly in the lines of Neil Gorsuch and, of course, the late Antonin Scalia. And I think that is exactly what Kyle Duncan fits. He fits that particular mold, and especially for the appointment of one of the most conservative and important circuits we have in the country, and that's the Fifth Circuit.
Yeah, without question. And he's well qualified. In fact, the American Bar Association, not that they're a organization that I have a high regard for, but they their Standing Committee on the Judiciary has given Duncan a well qualified rating. So, I mean, that says a lot for them to rate a solid conservative.
It does. It does. I mean, again, look, you know, I'm not a big fan of the American Bar Association, but I certainly applaud them for recognizing. And look, I think that as we continue down this path of judicial activism, and then we're able to see some of the president's nominees actually get seated on a court and see cases decided where the rule of law is basically put back in place, that there'll be an appreciation of the rule of law on both sides. I mean, look, we all can have a disagreement with the law, but there's a process by which you go about changing the law if you disagree. And if you're not able to change it, it just means that the majority of this country doesn't believe that the law should be changed. And that's how democracy is supposed to work.
And what we've seen with Kyle Duncan is that for a young guy, he's sharp, and he's got some tremendous experience as the general counsel of the Beckett Fund, which is a religious liberty entity in Washington that takes a lot of these religious liberty cases. He oversaw the successful Hobby Lobby challenge to the HHS mandate. And this was a huge case, and especially as it relates to religious liberty. So he has shown himself to be one who can clearly defend and articulate the significance of our Constitution and those constitutional rights.
Well, absolutely. Look, with all of the assaults that have been placed on religious liberties, especially, unfortunately, Christians seem to be targeted in a country that was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. To have people that understand and appreciate the text of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the applicability of those amendments, especially the First Amendment, understanding that the separation of church and state is simply a metaphor created in the 1900s under an activist Supreme Court, I think is important. We want people to understand that this country was built, that the foundation of this country is our Constitution, and that religious liberty is at the basis of the foundation of our country, because that's why people left Europe. Through that strife, to come to a new world, to settle into a place that was basically ruled by a democracy, where people could elect their members to govern them, and under which religious liberty was important. And they wanted to be able to freely exercise their Christian beliefs.
So, Attorney General Jeff Landry, what opposition is there to Kyle Duncan? It's not just the Democrats.
No, you know, it is unfortunate. You know, it really is. I mean, you know, I watched the hearing today, and I'm watching very closely our U.S. Senator in Louisiana, Senator John Kennedy, you know, who I believe that him and Bill Cassidy served the state well. But it's certainly troubling when you see someone make the comments that Senator Kennedy has made, especially in the votes that he made in other nominees to the circuit courts, in the Trump nominees, as to where he's going to go with Kyle Duncan. I mean, look, this is easy for Senator Kennedy. This is as easy as you, Tony, calling Michael Jordan up and saying, "Would you just do a layup for us, sir?" You know, I mean, this is easy. These are one of the nominations that should breeze through. Republicans finally have an opportunity to govern. We have a majority in the Senate, in the House. We control the White House. It is time for us to be able to exercise the power that the people of this country have given to us. And of course, when you see people that are on our side of the aisle have disagreements over that, it becomes troubling and disappointing.
Especially when you have candidates that have such proven track records as Kyle Duncan. Jeff Landry, thank you so much for joining us. Great to talk with you as always. Look forward to seeing you again real soon.
Thank you.
And Merry Christmas. All right. Attorney General for the state of Louisiana, Jeff Landry. All right. I'm going to talk more about this, but There was an article today that talks about how John Kennedy, senator from Louisiana, has been opposing a number of the president's picks, including Kyle Duncan. I think he needs to hear from folks, especially those folks in Louisiana, because I will tell you, as a Louisianian, I don't think he is representing us well. All right, don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch after this.
Spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience the rich history and culture of our nation's capital and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day by working to advance family values in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. The internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. Learn more at frc.org/internships.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers. The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. Hey, let me remind you, through the end of the year, we have an opportunity for a matching gift. Anything you give will be doubled by a generous contribution to the Family Research Council, which underwrites this entire program. That's how you get it every day, through partners like you. So if you'd like to make a donation, that will be doubled. You can do so at TonyPerkins.com, or you can also do it by text. You text the number 444-999. That's 3-4s, 3-9s. And in the subject line, put FRC. All right, as we were going to the break, I was mentioning Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana, who has expressed opposition to Kyle Duncan. In fact, Senator Grassley moved forward with the hearing despite opposition, and he's doing that with more of these judicial picks. You know, you might have heard about the blue slip. It's a kind of a tradition among senators having to give their approval to move forward. Well, that's being used to block, basically veto, and that's not what it was intended to do. So Senator Grassley moving forward with that. But here's the phone number for Senator Kennedy. If you'd like to weigh in, say, hey, get with the program, 202-224-4623. 202-224-4623. In fact, if you live in Louisiana, I would strongly encourage you to encourage Senator Kennedy to support the president's judicial picks, in particular, Kyle Duncan, who I'm telling you is outstanding. 202-224-4623. 202-224-4623. Again, I cannot do anything other than give the president high marks on his judicial picks. His team doing this has done an outstanding job. Now, it could always change, and if it does, I'll tell you. But all the ones that I have seen so far are really, really good. All right. We still to come, Senator Lindsey Graham's going to be joining us in the next segment talking about this latest missile launch from North Korea, now showing that they can hit the United States with a missile. We're going to talk about that. Do we need to change our tactics? Are sanctions enough? How will the U.S. respond? We're going to talk about that. But I want to talk about something that's been buzzing around in the media now for over a month, and it's all these scandals regarding let's go back to Harvey Weinstein, Al Franken, Matt Lauer today, announcement that he's been fired, Garrison Keillor, the Prairie Home Companion. It's in on the Capitol Hill. It's everywhere. And one of the things that, as I've been processing this and watching this, that, you know, what is right and what is true is always right and is always true. And when we look at this behavior, it's unacceptable behavior. What's the end game of what's happening right now with calling these people out? And I think we got to be, we need to, number one, people should not be subject to abusive behavior. People should be able to work in the workplace and not be subject to sexual harassment or any type of harassment. And what we're seeing is we're seeing this kind of purging that's taking place. But what's the outcome here? I hope it's returning to a set standard of right and wrong. And I start as Christians, you know, one way, and I talked about this the other day in Proverbs, the way we contend with evil is we do good. In terms of lawlessness, how do we contend with it? We keep the law. And I'm not talking about the statutes of man. I'm talking about the moral law of God. And I think we need to all assess our behavior, make sure that it is in line with the unchanging moral truth of God's word. But when we confront that which is evil, the purpose of that is to bring repentance and restoration. And that's where I think there's no hope in what's happening right now, because there's no end game of seeing people restored and renewed. I mean, Jesus talked in Luke chapter 17, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. We need to be motivated by forgiveness. Even Paul talked about this in dealing with the Corinthians, where there was sexual immorality. And he said, cut off fellowship. If they will not repent, cut the fellowship off. Do not have anything to do with them. And I think that's a good model. But the purpose of cutting off that fellowship was to see them come to a realization that their behavior was unacceptable, it was immoral, and it was wrong. And they needed to turn from it and repent of it. And when they did, they were restored to fellowship. Confronting evil should always have the desire and the focus of repentance and restoration. That's biblical. Might not be what's happening in the culture, but it's biblical. We need to protect the victims and stop people from becoming victims, but restore those who have not chosen to live in a sinful lifestyle and continue in that behavior, but turn from it. All right, when we come back, Senator Lindsey Graham joins us to talk about the latest coming out of North Korea. Don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Are you interested in making a real impact in public policy and culture? And are you looking for an internship experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If the answer is yes, spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience our country's rich history and culture and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day. further, you will develop the skills required to advance faith, family, and freedom in our nation. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain an invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. Learn more about the FRC internship program at frc.org/internships. Again, that is frc.org/internships.
Having a hard time finding that right gift for your family and friends? Need some ideas? Check out Family Research Council's online store and browse the latest books, mugs, trendy t-shirts, baby bibs, tote bags, and more. Your purchase of these items will support FRC in our mission to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Some of our exclusive items include a unique in-house design DC t-shirt featuring a skyline of the monuments in our nation's capital, a cute baby bib with some pro-life flair, and a stylish tote bag with a Bible verse from 1 John 4:19 that says, "We love because He first loved us." Go to frc.org/store now to start shopping. Again, that is frc.org/store. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
Merry Christmas and welcome back to Washington Watch. Yes, you can say Merry Christmas again. That's what the president said, and so we're going to say it. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. All right, the Senate voting right now to proceed to debating the tax reform bill. But we want to talk about North Korea. It successfully tested its most advanced intercontinental ballistic missile on Wednesday, yesterday, putting the U.S. mainland within range. President Trump called China. He vows more major sanctions. President Kim Jong-un claims it can reach the U.S., including the East Coast. That would be Boston, New York, and Washington, D.C. Joining us now, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. Serves on four committees in the U.S. Senate, Appropriations, Armed Services, Budget, and Judiciary. Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas. You can say that on this program.
Absolutely. And we're going to cut your taxes also, so
we'll do both. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Is that vote going? You're voting right now. Are we going to make that happen?
Yeah, we got enough votes to proceed, and we got three friction points. The individual mandate, I think, find a solution. I want to repeal the individual mandate because it's bad policy. The pass-throughs versus C corporations. We'll talk about North Korea, but I feel very confident, the most confident I've felt, that we're going to get a major tax cut through the Senate and on the president's desk.
Well, that's good. Coming from you, I put a lot of confidence in that because you've got your hand in everything that really takes place in the Senate.
I'm easily bored.
Well, you get involved in quite a bit, but where one of your areas of expertise that I like to talk with you about is foreign policy and the threats to our country from a security standpoint.
Right.
North Korea, obviously, now even more of a threat.
Right. Well, so what I would say is that President Trump told me yesterday before the missile was fired, we're talking about taxes, and we started talking about Rocket Man. And, you know, he said numerous times, I've played golf with him, I enjoy my time with the president, that we're not going to live our lives as Americans under a threat from a nuclear attack from a crazy man in North Korea, that he's not going to allow Kim Jong-un to get a nuclear-tipped missile that can hit America. They're not there yet. They got a missile that's got the range, but they haven't perfected reentry and delivering the missile in the payload in an accurate fashion, but it's just a matter of time. So what can the Chinese do? They provide North Korea's economy almost all their oil. They could cut off the oil. They could bring them to their knees. The president talked to the president of China this morning. I got a readout on that. It was a good conversation. And President Trump was very firm with the president of China. I am not going to allow this threat to get any, to mature any further. And if I have to use military force, I will.
I mean, we've spent the last 25 years talking, and it's not working. I mean, are there any diplomatic options left?
Okay, here's the only option that I can see that would possibly work, is if China basically cut off the energy that North Korea needs to survive or threaten to do so. China controls the North Korean economy. They could change Kim Jong-un's behavior if they chose to. One of two things are happening. China's not trying very hard, or Kim Jong-un is very stubborn and doesn't take China and the United States seriously. I want your listeners to know that by the end of this week, there's going to be some strong signals to China and North Korea that the military option is very viable. Now, nobody wants a war with North Korea. Thousands, maybe millions, could get hurt or get killed. But the president has to pick between our homeland security and regional stability. And he has told me, he's told the Chinese, that he's not going to live under the threat of a nuclear attack from North Korea. And if he has to use military force, he will. And if there's going to be a war, it's going to be in China's backyard.
Okay, China is either not trying hard
or
North Korea is not listening. Which do you think it is?
It's probably a little of both. I think China came out and said they share President Trump's policy of a denuclearized peninsula, which means no nukes in South Korea, no nukes in North Korea. So when China said we agree with the United States position, that's great. Now, how do you get Kim Jong-un to give up his missile program and his nuclear weapons? What I worry the most about, Tony, is if he builds a bunch of hydrogen bombs, and that's where he's headed, and a bunch of missiles, he will sell it or give it to terrorists, not just use it against us. He's too unstable to allow to have a nuclear arsenal. So I'm hoping that the signal we're about to send in a couple of days will make China realize that they've got a choice here. No other president has pushed China like Trump. No other president has been this bold in terms of, I will never allow them to hit America with a nuclear weapon, and if I have to destroy the regime, I will. Trump is doing things that other presidents haven't done. He has got no place to kick the can down the road, and they're miscalculating President Trump in North Korea and China.
Well, Senator Lindsey Graham, you say he can't kick the can down the road because I think we've been kicking it for far too long, and now
no
it's come
road
to this point.
Left.
Exactly.
Tony, so, it's just a matter of time until they perfect the ability to deliver a nuclear weapon to anywhere in America. And President Trump has said, I'm going to deny them that capability. I'm not going to allow that capability to exist and try to contain it by telling them, if you ever fired us, we're going to destroy you. He believes that's too risky, and I agree, because they could sell the technology to a terrorist who would use it. So the denial policy is, I'll never allow the marriage of a nuclear weapon and a missile that can hit America. That's the right policy, and we're running out of time because they're getting closer to marrying up those technologies.
One final question for you. I know you've got to go vote. Senator Graham, you made reference to Rocket Man. Is he a rational actor? Is he one that we can anticipate what actions he might take based upon what we do or don't do?
That's a good question, and here's the way I answer that. I don't want to live my life, your children's lives, and your grandchildren's lives hoping that he'll be rational. I want to focus on what he can't do. The only security I think we'll ever have is when we deny him the capability. I don't want to rely upon his goodwill or his rationality, because there's a lot of evidence that he's a vicious, anti-religious thug killer. So the best policy is to deny him the capability of hitting America, rather than having to hope that he's rational. That's the camp I'm in. And if there's going to be a war, it's going to be in North Korea's backyard, not America's backyard. And let me tell you who wins that war. We do. It will be costly, but we're going to end this threat to our homeland. Donald Trump is right, and I've got his back.
Well, you cannot, as you said, you can't deny the threat, and you cannot keep waiting, because when we wait, if we wait too long, it will be in our backyard. It may be in our front yard.
We never have to cross this Rubicon. Pray for the president to make the right call. I think he's on the right track. I hope our friends in China, our adversaries in China, whatever you want to call them, are taking Trump seriously, because they should be.
All right. Senator Lindsey Graham, as always, great to have you on the program. Good to talk with you.
Thanks, Tony.
All right. And Merry Christmas. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, got to run onto the Senate floor to vote, to begin debate on the tax reform bill. Right now, 46 in favor of moving forward to debate, 47 no. Because it's the reconciliation bill, it is going to get to the majority. And so that's still to come here, probably in the next 10 to 15 minutes after the program. But you heard it right here, Senator Lindsey Graham saying that he's confident the votes are there not only to move on to the bill, but that they are going to deliver tax reform. And I think it's absolutely critical for the Republicans to do that. The Senate fumbling on the repeal of Obamacare. But in this version of the tax reform bill will be the repeal of the individual mandate, which is kind of the, you know, you played that game where you had the straws and you pulled the one out and it all comes crashing down. I think this is the final straw for Obamacare. When you pull out the individual mandate that requires people to be in Obamacare, when it costs them more and they don't necessarily want it, once you remove that, I think you're going to quickly see Obamacare implode, forcing the Democrats to come to the table to come up with a overhaul. Or, you know, we talk about the a repeal and reform of Obamacare, and I think it needs to go away. I think we need to, whatever system is we approach has to be a patient-centered, market-based approach to healthcare. It's the only way it's going to work. And I think this will move us much further down the road when we remove the individual mandate. So that's a part of the tax reform. Now, here's what's going to happen when it passes the Senate. Probably, I don't know when that'll happen. But it will go to a conference committee. Between the House and the Senate, they'll have to work out the differences. Could be next week, probably next week, the following week, but it's coming. And you heard it here with Senator Lindsey Graham that he feels confident that the Senate will pass tax reform. He also, I hope you heard what he said, be watching in the next few days. Before the end of the week, a strong message is going to be sent to North Korea and China, that the U.S. means business. And that's one thing I think the world is taking note, that this president is not all talk, that he is actually delivering. That's something they've not seen in 8 years. And so be praying for our president, be praying for his advisors, who I know he has been talking with, calling in, because I've had some meetings that have been canceled as a result of the president pulling in his advisors to talk about North Korea. And so I want to encourage you to pray for him. Pray for our men and women in the military who may be a part of what's coming up. Anyway, the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, again, I want to remind you that this program made possible because of folks like you who support this program. If you'd like to be a part of supporting the Family Research Council, which underwrites Washington Watch, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and you can be a part of that. We'd love to have you as a partner at the Family Research Council. All right. I want to encourage you, if you don't get my daily update, you can get that, because there's a lot of things I will talk about on the radio that are in the update. But a lot of times there's things that I don't get to on the radio that are in our daily update we put out. Like one we did, I hope to get Senator Lankford on tomorrow, trying to work out the schedule. But he puts out an annual list of federal fumbles. It's kind of a list of wasteful spending from the federal government. And it's, I mean, you got to laugh or you'll cry. And so it's we put out something, we kind of put our spin on it, makes it a little lighthearted, but serious in terms of the spending that goes on in the federal government that's just wasteful. And anyway, you can read that. If you get my daily update, you can go to TonyPerkins.com and sign up for the daily update. Also, I'm going to be talking about this, probably talk about it tomorrow, so I'll give you a heads up. There's kind of a new abortion orthodoxy that is emerging in the Democratic Party. I mean, after 8 years of over-the-top extremism, the left is making it quite clear, you ain't seen nothing yet. Now, if you thought the last two Democratic Party platforms alienated moderates, wait until you see what's coming in the next election. That's where the party hopes to take out some of their own and replace them with radicals whose agenda on abortion is not safe, not rare, and it's always legal. You remember that? Remember Bill Clinton? You know, well, we want abortion to be safe, rare, and legal. You know, they wanted to push it aside. It wasn't this focal point. It wasn't the centerpiece of their policy. Well, now it is. And they announced earlier this week, NARAL, MoveOn.org, and some of the leftist groups have put a target on Democrats, pro-life Democrats, like Dan Lipinski of Illinois. He's one of the few remaining socially conservative Democrats in Congress. Most of those guys got knocked off back after Obamacare was passed, and they were replaced with conservative Republicans because they were forced to vote on something, well, like the taxpayer funding of abortion. Well, now the left is not content to have any diversity within the Democratic Party on the issue of abortion. And so they're going to take out these people. This is what we see shaping up in Alabama in this Supreme Court race. You've got the Democratic candidate, Jones, who is, he's all for abortion up to birth. Doug Jones is he is the model candidate for the Democrats when it comes to the abortion issue. And, of course, in Alabama, there's only like two or three other states that are more pro-life than Alabama. Watch that race in Alabama. Despite the allegations, the charges that have been made, and the cloud that is there over Judge Moore, watch that race because I believe that is a harbinger of things to come when it comes to the issue of abortion. All right, folks, out of time for today. Thank you for joining us. Again, the website is TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is @TPerkins. Until next time. I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you could do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.